Welcome to On Texas Football Special Edition here. Bobby Burton joined by Jerry Hamilton. Jerry, I tell you what, on the heels of Josiah Sharma's announcement for Oregon just a few moments ago, I thought it was important, and so did you and our producer Matt, to come back and talk about NIL and defensive line recruiting, because it is clear at this point in time that the defensive line is one of the cherished positions in college football, and it is affecting Texas's ability to recruit nationwide, a position that there are not a lot of recruits inside state bounds. What are your thoughts on this, and what happened today with Josiah Sharma? Let's start with what happened with Josiah Sharma, and then we'll talk about NIL recruiting as well.
Yes, I think with Josiah Sharma, as of last night, he had told multiple colleges that he was headed to Texas, as well as people with the, around the Folsom program. Texas was the expectation when people went to sleep last night. This morning, mid-morning, whenever that was, word started to come in that, well, hold on, this may end up being Oregon. So I don't even think the schools were told ahead of time it was going to be Oregon. Now, once the word started to get out that he might have changed his mind, it's going to be Oregon. Texas was in they were in communication. They fought till the end, but he ends up announcing for Oregon. So again, kind of to rehash that, he went to bed last night, or coaches went to bed last night, Folsom people went to bed last night, thinking it was going to be Texas. That's what was told. Other colleges thought it was going to be Texas. So then he ends up committing to Oregon today. And there you go. This is your NIL era. I mean, this is really what we're talking about here. So, I mean, Oregon just came in, and somebody called it in our live stream, said they got sniped. And that's pretty much what happened in this recruitment. But outside of quarterback, I think defensive line is the most competitive position in recruiting nationally in the NIL era, because there's not as many of those guys on an annual basis that are seen as potential true difference makers.
And I want to say this, not that many in the non-deep South footprint,
right,
which Texas is somewhat in, but not entirely.
Yes.
Like right now, Texas only truly offered two in-state defensive linemen.
Right.
DJ Sanders out of Belleville and Zion Williams out of Lufkin. Well, a state the size of Texas, by comparison, how many wide receivers has Texas offered in the state of Texas? Eight?
Offensive linemen.
Offensive linemen. There's just not as many. And so what's interesting is what's happening right now is Texas is being forced to go outside state lines to get the elite of the elite defensive linemen. And when you do that, you start competing with other teams where you have no built-in advantage.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what's a guy from Folsom, California? What's his tie to the University of Texas? And it's hard. And that's where Oregon has just as strong a tie. And perhaps they come up with a better NIL deal. And all of a sudden, all bets are off.
Yeah.
And so my question to you is, does Texas need to change its tact? Or, you know, is this just part of what it is nowadays with NIL recruiting, and Texas needs to go and double down on guys like Brandon Brown, DJ Sanders, and Myron Charles?
Yeah. Well, I think the double down part is certainly part of the discussion. I think another big part of the discussion is shots on goal. I think if you're going to recruit nationally at the defensive line position, and we're not saying Texas, somebody that didn't have a really good senior year in the state and they decide, you know what, let's go try see if we can make something happen with this guy. That's always possible. We're not ruling that out. But I think looking ahead to like a 2026 class nationally, more shots on goal. Texas had five guys come in for official visits. One of those is already committed, Brandon Brown, but taking another visit. So four uncommitted prospects. That puts a lot of pressure on you if you want a four-man class. So I think the key there is you have to have shots on goal. You have to get in on a lot of guys nationally. You've got to get 8-10 of these guys on campus for official visits. I mean, that to me, that's the whole key is you got to have more shots on goal if you're going to have a 3-4-man type of D-line class, because these are real national battles at a premium position, which is number 2 to quarterback in college football recruiting right now. in terms of difficulty to win. And then I think you also still have to mix in. I still believe this, Bobby. There, you have to take a guy probably every class. Doesn't have to be an in-state guy. Has maybe somebody you like that's a, still a developmental prospect. Because there's a lot of really talented guys out there. Some of them won't be ready year one, but by year two and year three and year four, you may have an NFL player. So I still think that has to be part of this process as well moving forward for Texas.
I was going to ask you that because, look, what's to say Texas money wouldn't be perhaps better spent on a college-ready player in the portal the same time next year? Because Josiah Sharma, whatever he may cost, he's unlikely to have a huge impact on the team in 2025. He's going to be a true freshman. Why wouldn't you take that money and apply it to a battle-ready or battle-tested defensive lineman? I mean, is this a position that Texas may have to look at doing more in the portal on a consistent basis? They got three that way this offseason.
Well, I think the tough thing in the portal, D-line, is there may be one, two Dominic Williams-level players in the portal on every cycle. So those guys have incredible leverage. So what length are you willing to go to NIL-wise to get one of those guys? That's the hard thing because the first-round guys, the first-round level guys at your blue blood schools aren't jumping in the portal. These schools aren't going to let them go to the portal. That's not going to happen unless you have nine guys and you're like, go do your thing, Bear Alexander. We don't really care for Georgia. There's only going to be one, two, Goodyear, maybe three guys that you're thinking second, third round NFL draft pick that can be an immediate impact. But what happens when there's only two or three of those guys? They have the most leverage of anybody in the portal. So you saw that with Dominic Williams recruitment this spring. When that comes down to LSU, LSU couldn't even play in the sandbox, right? Then Texas is like, Then Oklahoma goes very big and gets it done in the NIL space. So that's the tough thing in the portal. Now, there's guys you can piece together and be quality players for you on an annual basis. If you can get some of those guys for 2 years, I think it makes sense. But the true difference makers that are going to come in, we use the term war daddy, be a second or third team all SEC level player, there's about two or three of those guys in the portal. And that those guys command a lot.
Yeah, they really do. And I will say this. What's interesting to me as we look at it right now is the juxtaposition of Texas being from a power state, a power talent state, yet not producing enough of one particular type of player, right, at an elite level. So therefore, you have this talent-rich state, but you're forced to go elsewhere at some level. And yet then that makes you reluctant to necessarily because you don't want to discombobulate your entire roster structure over it, right? But perhaps maybe that's what Texas has to do if they want to play and use the term sandbox, play in that sandbox in a similar fashion. It's going to be something we're going to track. All right, I want to say this, but I don't think this isn't all doom and gloom for Texas. I think Texas has the NIL budget to play in this sandbox. Now what's going to happen with the rest of these guys? Let's talk about the other guys that are out there right now, including Myron Charles, Brandon Brown, and DJ Sanders. Where does Texas stand on all three of those guys right now as we head into the weekend ahead?
Well, let's start with Brandon Brown. He's committed to Texas, obviously made official visits to LSU, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Texas. I still believe, NIL era, believe this will be Texas or LSU. Bo Davis had him committed at Texas, has that longstanding relationship with Brandon and his mom. I think Brandon really likes the idea of playing at Texas. So I think he'll have a final decision here in the next 10 days, 2 weeks in that area code. Maybe takes 3 weeks. But I really believe that's still going to be Texas or LSU. Now, in the NIL era, let's say we can't discount Tennessee. They may value him higher than anybody else on their board. Oklahoma, obviously what they did with Dominic Williams late in the spring out of the portal. But right now, I think that is going to be a Texas or LSU decision. Then you get down to Myron Charles. That's been Texas FSU for a while here. He visited Florida. He visited Miami along with Texas and FSU. FSU doesn't have the confidence they have had. Texas has increased confidence. But what happened with Josiah Sharman, now Texas is in the back of Texas fans' mind. Is Miami going to come in and do something crazy in the last 24 hours that are going to change the course of this recruitment for Texas and Florida State? Because Josiah Sharman was Texas Bama, and Oregon was third, and then boom, Oregon got the commitment. So Miami's probably your team to watch in that scenario. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think that right now it's Texas, Florida State. DJ Sanders seems like it's Texas and Michigan, and Texas have been in a pretty good spot for him since the official visit, early mid-July announcement. So those are the three guys right now that are still on the board that have made official visits to Texas.
So DL recruiting in the NIL era is one that we're going to be continuing to monitor here on Texas football, because I think there are just some interesting nuances to it that maybe don't exist at other positions. The state of Texas produces a ton of highly talented quarterbacks, even wide receivers, offensive linemen, even tight ends, defensive backs, defensive tackle, maybe a little different. Defensive ends, Texas has had enough of those too, Jerry. Yes. Linebackers. Yes. Other positions.
And let's look at that, Bobby. That's a great point. In the 2026 class in Texas, prior to junior seasons, a guy or two may pop up. There's not great depth at that position in state in 2026. So once again, Texas is going to be going out of state and evaluating a lot of guys. And I think the difference you will see in 26, now that Kenny Baker's had more time at Texas, can truly evaluate a class, go out and see guys, I think you're going to see Texas take more shots on goal in the 26th class. And I think that's very much what's needed moving forward for Texas D-line recruiting.
All right. Definitely put some increased impetus or importance on Brandon Brown, Myron Charles, as well as DJ Sanders. All right. That's going to do it for this special update on NIL or DL recruiting in the NIL era. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. You guys have a good weekend. Hook 'em.